The following message is from the audio teaching library of the Briarwood Pulpit, a ministry of the Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Our speaker is Dr. Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. It is our hope and prayer that this message will equip and encourage you in your walk with Christ, and as a result, you will be used by our Lord as an instrument of change to further His kingdom and bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. Here now is our pastor-teacher, Harry Reeder.
If you're able, please remain standing for the reading of God's Word, and just turn with me to Acts chapter 1, which is our theme verse. If you're visiting with us, I want you to know what a great blessing it is to have you. Our children are making their way to the children's worship to my left. There'll be those there to meet them. And if you'll make your way to Acts chapter 1, if you're visiting with us and don't have a Bible, please feel free to use the Pew Bible. And if you'll just turn to page 909, you'll be right with us in Acts chapter 1. Our focus is on empowered, Holy Spirit empowered witness of the gospel to fulfill the great commission to the world from Acts chapter 1. So we're going to look at that text as we bring our missions conference to a focus this Lord's Day. Now, by the way, this doesn't end it today. We actually have our ending of our missions conference tonight, a very special time. We always end our missions conference with a communion service, and our ethnic churches join us. Our Chinese Bible studies, our Japanese congregation, our Hispanic congregation, our Korean congregation, they'll be with us tonight. It's one of my favorite services of the year. We get to speak in tongues as Presbyterian, and nobody says a word. There'll be all kind of languages running around here, and wonderful time this evening. What a great time. So come prepared for the Lord's Supper, and our new missions pastor, who's not so new now, is going to be giving us an exhortation from God's Word to bring us to the table of the Lord together. A little taste of that gathering of the marriage feast, every tribe and every nation. A little taste of that tonight. Praise the Lord. So look forward to being with you tonight. And if you're visiting with us today, this is the focal time of our missions conference, and we want you to know it's a joy to have you with us today. Look with me in Acts chapter 1, and we're in verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, for which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." So when they had come together, that's a key phrase there, when they had come together, that is these disciples and those that were with them, they came together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, whom was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Even so, come quickly, Lord." The grass withers and the flower fades. God's word abides forever. By his grace and mercy, may his word be preached for you. Please be seated. Well, we need to get right to it. I only have a few moments so we can spend our time. Now, let me just go ahead and tell you, if you got your, I know you got your faith promise cards and you brought them and you have them available, and that's great. I just want to make a couple of reminders to you. And it's kind of building off. I was able to kick off our missions conference by going to the text that sets up the text that we're reading today, that text from Luke 24 that we confessed just a few moments ago. Now, maybe you want to keep your Bibles open, because I'm going to be referring to that Acts 1 text a couple of times as we walk our way through this. But at the end of the service, what we're going to do is the habit of our congregation. Missionaries are sent ones, apostolic ministry of being sent ones. And in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, as the people would receive their commitments, they would bring it and place it at the feet of the sent ones. And so that's what we will do. Our missionaries will be up here, and you can bring your faith promise card and place it here, consecrating it to the Lord as you anticipate what the Lord's going to enable you to do this coming year, specifically for the cause of international fulfillment of the Great Commission, the gospel to the world. Your every member commitment, of course, we set aside a significant, I think it's 40-something percent of that, of our every member commitment that is devoted to fulfilling the Great Commission locally, regionally, and nationally. But this is our faith promise, and it's 100% commitment to the cause of sending the gospel around the world. I said earlier, if y'all can just kind of give you a brief glimpse of a pastor's heart, at least this pastor's heart, brief glimpse. I wouldn't show you the whole thing. That would really discourage you. But I want to give you a brief glimpse of it and a brief glimpse into at least my mind on this. I shared with you there were four things upon my heart as we came to this time today and this season of commitment for world evangelism, international fulfillment of the Great Commission. And one of those things was that you would all be moved to specifically, strategically engage in intercessory prayer for the work of the gospel to all the nations. I don't know whether you're going to pray generally for all the missionaries, one or two missionaries. I'm just going to trust the providence of God to put together a great prayer program as God leads you. And you've had this entire week for God to be leading you. Maybe areas, maybe missionaries, maybe particular things that missionaries are doing. I don't know, but we need to be engaged. You have not because you ask not. When you do ask, you ask amiss to consume it upon yourself. We want to pray for Christ's work to the world. The second thing is that you would be committed to faith promise giving, and that, you know, last year was a great year. For the first time in the history of this congregation, we went over 50% of participation in faith promise. And that showed up in the amount that was committed. And by the way, the amount that went way beyond even the hallelujah goal last year, and not just committed, but given. It was really extraordinary what the Lord did through you. And I praise God for it. I can't tell you what a great privilege it is to serve the Lord with you, to constantly see your generous and sacrificial heart for the cause of the kingdom, that men and women might hear the gospel of Christ. But I will tell you this, as much as I rejoice going over 50%, I'm kind of a 100% guy. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's, Lord, I'm just going to give this up this year, or a sacrifice, or this is what I believe. But folks, and I'll tell you why. I want you. I mean, I hear all of you, Auburn, Alabama, we're all in. Well, if I can stand up and say all in a football stadium, I can sure say all in for the sake of the Great Commission. I like all of us in. And I don't know how the Lord leads you to participate. That's between you and the Lord. But for all of us to be engaged in that prayer commitment and faith promise, where you say to the Lord and lead your children in it, and this process of, Lord, what are you leading us to believe by faith you're going to give to us? I mean, just how are you going to plunder the Egyptians to bring it to us? And then we promise that when you get it to us, it's going to go through us. And when it gets to us, it goes through us. And then we now know where it's going. We were in that conference. We've got that brochure. We've got that journal. We've got those things to understand what's taking place. And we can be a part of it financially as well. See, I not only want you to hear testimonies, I want you to have one. I want you to know what it means for the Lord to bring that in that you've trusted Him for, and then to see how the Lord uses it. And it's just an exciting thing. I mean, the other day I watched a commercial where somebody said, will a pair of jeans make your life meaningful? I said, hey, now we've got somebody doing some thinking. Of course, then he says, no, a pair of jeans won't make your life meaningful. Don't buy the jeans. Buy this course and learn how to speak this language. I said, okay. All right. Well, we didn't quite get there. I mean, I'm all for learning another language. But it's just to make that investment. And then the next missions conference is not just a missions conference. It's your investment reports coming back, that you get to hear what the Lord's doing all around the world, and you get the opportunity to see Him. Well, there was a third thing, too, and particularly for young couples. I praise God so much for our global ministry team. But while we have these people that are there that have guided this church for all of these years, and we got some young couples on it, but we got them there, I would love for some of our young couples to get on that global ministries team in order to gain from their experience and being mentored by them. This is a congregation that's absolutely committed to this cause of world evangelism. And then the fourth thing, right, standing right over there, Brian is going to be standing. And when you bring this card forward, you might have checked down there at the bottom, I would like to discover whether I'm called to cross-cultural ministry. be a cross-cultural missionary. Now, this doesn't mean, oh, I would like to have a cross-cultural experience and Briarwood's going to pay my way to go get a cross-cultural experience. No. We're going to pay. We're going to support people who go do evangelism and discipleship and church planting and church revival. That's what we don't just support people who want a cross-cultural experience. We want people who are called and gifted by the Lord to send them. And you may sense that the Lord's calling you. And so Brian has got a thing that he's put together to help you begin to move toward that investigation. So when you come forward and you put your faith promise card down, then you can walk right over there and meet with Brian. He's going to pray with you and give you that card and then be following up with you to explore whether God's called you to be that, to be a cross-cultural missionary or not. So that's my passion. I have other things in my heart. I mean, you know, I love the new missions pastor, and I'm learning to love him even more. Of course, I love the other missions pastor too, but I've been praying for our missions pastor to be encouraged, and I know y'all are so encouraging because, you know, I mean, can you imagine being the new missions pastor and following Tom Cheeley? I mean, Mr. Missions Pastor, go look up it in dictionary, missions pastor, his picture is there. And then for him to come and follow him, you know, this legendary missions pastor. So I've been praying for him. I kind of know what it means to follow a legend in pastoral ministry. And so and you've encouraged me so much. I'm praying for this encouragement of him. But more than that, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged as you're hearing what the Lord's doing and you're participating in what the Lord's doing. Now, to come to this moment and time when we'll bring these cards forward and then we'll send the flags out and the missionaries out. And then I'll go out and then you're going out because we're all missionaries, right? You're either a mission field or a missionary, one of the two. So we're all missionaries as well as our cross-cultural missionaries. But as we get to that, there's just a couple of things I want you to think about in the text that's in front of you. If you'll just keep it in front of you. Jesus, remember last 2 weeks ago, we kicked off our missions conference knowing that our focus was you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, the empowered witnesses of the gospel to the world. To get there, I said, let's go back to where the Lord piqued their interest for Acts chapter 1. And see, so there was we're coming up to Easter, going to be an Easter sermon. Well, I know who preached the first Easter sermon, Jesus. And he used the Old Testament as his text. And it says, you just confessed it just a few minutes ago. It's recorded in Luke 24. Beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained himself in all the scriptures. And then he said, you are witnesses of these things. You are I am sending you out as my witness. But before I send you out, I want you to go back. And I want you to wait for power. I am going to send the promise of the Father upon you. And then I will send you clothed with power to be my witnesses. So that was his sermon. As you would expect, Jesus was a Presbyterian preacher and he had three takeaways in that sermon. And takeaway number one was he is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament. I mean, why is everything, why are these offerings, temples, tabernacles, prophets, priests, king, arts, why is all this back there? It's all pointing to Jesus. All the prophecies, all the promises, all the precepts, all the types, all the symbols, all the shadows, they're all come to fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment. He explained himself in all the scriptures that he had to go to the cross to save his people from their sins. And it's at the cross, not where we get a man-made religion of what you got to do to maybe get to some invented imaginary heaven, but a true gospel message, a good news message that you couldn't get to heaven, but there is a God who has come down from heaven, his son, and went to a cross. And in that cross is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, where the grace of God met the justice of God, the love of God met the righteousness of God, and kissed to save sinners by the grace of God for the glory of God as a gift of redeeming grace that's given to you. And then he says, now, takeaway number one, you're my witnesses. You're the witnesses of these things. You go tell everyone this is historically verified. It's got witnesses. Witness after witness after witness after witness. Because this is an astounding message. An astonishing message. So you're my witnesses. I want you to be my witnesses. Point number two, I'm sending you. I'm sending you from Jerusalem to the whole world. That's what I'm sending you to do, into a pagan world that this message is a scandal. Nobody wants to believe it. Nobody is born with a heart that wants to believe this message. It's a scandal. We don't want to be told we're sinners. We don't want to be told we can't save ourselves. And we don't want to be told that our religion can't save us, that we need a savior. That's a scandal. And you're going to meet opposition. But that's where I'm sending you. But I'm not sending you out until I send you back. I'm not going to send you out there till I send you back. And I'm going to send you back because takeaway number three, the Father has promised the same Holy Spirit that came upon me, I, when I ascend, will pour him out upon you. What did he tell them? There are 15 documented appearances of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. Paul appeals to them. He says, look, go ask these people, because if Jesus isn't risen, we're a bunch of idiots. Don't believe what we've got to say. There's 500 at one time he appeared to. He appeared to Peter. And there were 15. Well, earlier he had an appearance back up at Galilee at a mountain, and they saw him, and he said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what he had told them. All authority is mine. Now, in Luke 24 and in Acts 1, he now says, all power is yours. All authority is mine. All power is yours. I will pour out my Spirit upon you. He will seal you. He will indwell you. He will anoint you. He will empower you. Therefore, this kingdom is unstoppable. This kingdom will not stop. And when it has gone to all the nations, then the king who has ascended, this king who laid aside the privileges of his majesty to go to that cross to save us from our sins, has now ascended, and in that enthronement now sends forth his Spirit upon us so that we can fulfill this mission. And when this mission is fulfilled and all the nations have heard the gospel, and when this mission is fulfilled and all of those whom he saves by his grace, Father, none of them, I will lose not one of them, when they've all been brought in and sealed into Christ, then he comes again. Even as you saw him ascend, he will come again in glory. So he has given them that message. He has been with them 40 days. Can you imagine that? Being with them 40 days, and he's been holding some post-resurrection, pre-ascension seminars. And he's got 7 of them met here, and 11 of them met here, and a group of them met here, and 500 of them here. But he had, and then he would meet with some individually, like Peter and James. So he would have all of these various meetings during that 40 days. And now he has arrived at the Mount of Olives. Here is the last meeting, and he is now ascending back up into glory from Bethany on the Mount of Olives. And as he is ascending, they say, we got one more question. Got a question. What's the question? Well, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, obviously, that question is built upon what? First of all, they've understood that the kingdom of God had been entrusted to the nation of Israel. And all of God's promises have now come to fruition through the king, the prophet greater than all prophets, the priest greater than all priests, and the King of kings and Lord of lords. And now they know this kingdom is no longer entrusted to Israel. Who is it entrusted to? It's entrusted to his church. Did you notice that careful language that I read to you? I think it's in there in verse 6 where it says, and when they came together, that's the verb form of the name for church, the ecclesia. Here is the embryonic New Testament church, getting the marching orders from the king for the gospel of the kingdom to all the kingdoms of the world. But they got a question. When are you going to restore this kingdom back to Israel? And then Jesus says, well, it's not for you to know times and epochs. But as for you, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. And that's what I now give to you. In other words, they're asking for a prophecy conference. And he says, no, we're going to have a prayer meeting. You know, I thought about that once this last week as I was kind of working through this text. What if I called on Tuesday night, we're going to have a prophecy conference to know what God's going to do in the Middle East in the next 25 years? Pretty good crowd. What if I said we're going to have a prayer meeting to pray for God's Spirit to empower us to fulfill the Great Commission? See, we get interested in prophecy conferences. Jesus wants us to be interested in the prayer meeting, where the Spirit of God comes upon his people. Now, by the way, I don't think he is not answering their question. Everybody says, well, he didn't answer their question. He redirected them to the Great Commission. No, I think he answered their question. The kingdom has now been entrusted to the church. And the church is to take this gospel of the kingdom to all the nations. What did he just tell you about the kingdom? Just jot them down. I'm not going to preach on it. This is a good series, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to give you each sermon title. First thing he tells you about the kingdom is that it's a spiritual kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom that the Holy Spirit is enabling. The second thing he tells them about the kingdom that he's been entrusted to the church. The second thing he tells them about the kingdom of God is that this kingdom is an international kingdom. It is going to all the nations. It's not belonging to any one nation. This kingdom has been entrusted to the church to take to all the nations. What's the third thing he teaches? This kingdom is an expanding kingdom from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the world. What's the fourth thing that he tells you? This kingdom is a powerful kingdom. Its citizens are empowered by the Holy Spirit. This kingdom is a powerful kingdom. It has the weapons of the Spirit, not the weapons of this world. What's the fifth thing that he says? This kingdom is an intentional kingdom. It goes from one place to the next place, to the next place, to the next place. It goes from Jew to Gentile, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the world. And that's what he tells them about the kingdom. But that one little piece about the power of this kingdom that comes through the Holy Spirit, all of this is possible because the King has risen and he has poured out his Spirit. Isn't it interesting that Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, also wrote the book of what's the other book Luke wrote? Just checking. Luke, this isn't hard. And so Luke wrote that book. What is that book? That's 33 years of the Holy Spirit poured out upon the incarnate Christ. And the body of Christ, the incarnate Christ, has brought the glorious fulfillment of the gospel of the kingdom. And how does he end it? He ends it with this Savior now resuming back to his glory. But this time he came to take upon himself a body, and he brings that body now back glorified and transformed for all eternity. And then when he arrives, he then says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon body number two. What is body number two? The church of Jesus Christ. And then the book of Acts is, guess what? 33 years. 33 years of the Holy Spirit empowered witness of Christ through the body of Christ, first to Jerusalem, Acts 1 through 8, then to Judea and Samaria, Acts 9 through 12, and then to the world, Acts 13 through 28. And then you get to chapter 28 and it ends with this: proclaiming the word of the God and the gospel of the kingdom. ... In other words, the book of Acts doesn't just end like all these other books. It ends by continuing. Because this body continues to do its work until all the nations have heard and all of his people have been gathered in. And then Jesus in body number one will return in like manner. So what are we engaged in? We're engaged in that same thing that they were engaged in. So the book of Acts becomes the narrative of the empowered witness of Christ going from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. And when it ends, it doesn't end with a period. It ends with dot, 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 because we're not through yet. That's why we got this missions conference. That's why we reach Birmingham, to reach Alabama, to reach North America, to reach the world for Christ. He's not through yet. How do you know he's not through yet? Because he hasn't come back yet. That's why I know we're not through. Gospel to the nations and the gospel to men and women that all of his people are to be gathered in. That's what we are engaged in. That's what we're called to do. So you go through that book of Acts, and what do you see? You see the gospel work unfolding, the gospel of the kingdom, which, by the way, what's the answer for Israel? We're not going back to the Old Testament of sacrifices and incense and priesthoods and temples and ceremonies and all of that. No, that's all fulfilled in Jesus Christ once and for all. Yes and amen in Christ Jesus. All of the promises, all of the prophecies, all of the precepts, all of the types, all of the shadows, absolutely fulfilled in Christ. But this glorious gospel that has now gone to the nations, the same church that takes it to the nations will intentionally take it back. The gospel to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. That's what we take back, what came to us through them. That's what God has called us to do. And so we're still engaged in this enterprise. And we're engaged. Briarwood is not innovative. We are not exotic. We are not ingenious. We just looked at the book of Acts. How did they shake the world? How did they turn? Remember Acts 17:6? These people have turned the world upside down. How did they do it? Well, they took the gospel and they did evangelism and discipleship. What did they do? They evangelized up, the up and inners. They evangelized down, the down and outers. They evangelized men. They evangelized women. They evangelized families. There was households that were converted. They evangelized and discipled with the gospel up, down, sideways, over here. Everybody, Jew, Gentile. I mean, they even evangelized lawyers. Can you believe that? I mean, I can't tell you anything more important. And one of them actually got to be an apostle. His name was Paul, a lawyer that became a religious terrorist. Became a preacher of the gospel. Lawyer, religious terrorist. I can buy that. Lawyer, religious terrorist, preacher of the gospel. Wow, amazing grace. Businessmen like Philemon, Epaphras, Barnabas. Totally transformed. Businesswomen like Lydia. Demon-possessed girls. It's amazing what this gospel is doing. It's absolutely astounding. Evangelism and discipleship. And then as it's going out, you notice the evangelism, you see these church plants. And when they get in trouble, they send people back for church revitalization. Good old embers to a flame, long before there was embers to a flame. And they're doing church planting, and they're planting churches, and then strengthening churches, and they're engaging, they're putting churches all over the place. They put churches out in little rural towns, and then they put them in capital cities. Do you realize out of the 27 provinces in the book of Acts where they planted churches that is mentioned, 22 of them were capitals? So they go up, they go again, they go to where the power people are, and they go to where the discouraged people are. They go everywhere with the gospel, not just any one place. They go to rural areas, they go to city areas. They go all over the place. And then when they get there, they not only have church plants and evangelism and discipleship, but there is compassion and there's mercy. Is there a famine we want to help? Are there widows we want to help them? There are gospel words that are authenticated by gospel deeds. And then as the evil empire strikes back, with persecution, then God's sovereign mercies always are intervening. Sometimes he takes his people on the glory through the persecution. Sometimes he delivers them from the hand. But it's always the tapestry of God's glory and our good that is working out as the gospel is going forward. And then as it's going forward, we see this persistent prayer. We see not only this wonderful work of evangelism, 3,000 here, every day people are being added here, 5,000 here, this city's turned upside down here, this family comes, this household comes, but we then find out persistent prayer meetings are going all over the place, where protracted intercessory prayer is taking place for this gospel power to keep moving. Sacrificial giving? Yeah. They had their own versions of faith promise. Here, we'll just sell what we own. We'll just sell it. One guy sells so much that two things happen. One, they get so excited by him, they change his name to Barnabas. What an encourager. And by the way, everybody sees how encouraging that is, so some people tried to imitate it without doing it, Ananias and Sapphira. And so there's always those who would imitate. But there's the gospel that's going. Well, folks, I'm out of time, but we will give time for you to bring your commitments forward. But that's, here's what, here Jesus said this, as the Father sent me, so send I you. What did the Father send Jesus to do? Seek and save the lost, the gospel to the world. What did the Father do when he sent Jesus? He sent the Holy Spirit upon him. What does Jesus do? He sends us to seek and save the lost. And he sends us out by first sending us back, that the Holy Spirit would clothe us with power. Just as he was clothed with power in body number one, then body number two is clothed with power so that we go to the world. And no matter what takes place, we're able to stand. Here I am for Christ. See his blood, you're forgiven in Christ. See his righteousness, you are accepted in Christ. It clothes you. See his spirit, you are empowered in Christ. You're brought from death into life in Christ. And we are here to bear witness of this Christ. And we send where we can't be a witness, we send other witnesses out there to other cultures, to other ethnicities, to all of those places. So this multidimensional impact of the gospel is taking place. And we are bearing witness. There is a Savior who takes you where you are and never leaves you where you are, but grows you by his grace, and he'll take you to glory. And in fact, he's gone away to prepare a place for you so that where he is, there you will be also, and he will come again to bring you to himself. And until then, he has a mission for you. And so we engage here and we engage and see what's happened around the world. And oh my goodness, I mean, last year, not only did you go to the hallelujah goal, you went beyond the hallelujah goal. So all of a sudden, here is these extra resources. I mean, last year's brochure, we didn't have these things listed. And because of your prayer commitment and your sacrificial giving and God's supernatural intervention, we were able to plant a church where the tsunami destroyed the nuclear facility in Japan. And the hope of the gospel is there as we work with a sister Japanese denomination. We were able to plant a church in Nepal that we weren't even planning on planting. You saw the pictures of the two churches in South Africa in rural areas that we were able to plant and enable them to plant churches on literally what are trash heaps, where people live on trash heaps. I will be there in just a couple of months, riding in the truck that you purchased to those very places. And so will our team. You were able to start a Bible Institute in Honduras. By the way, do you hear the theme of this? What all this giving do? Church planning, church revitalization, evangelism, discipleship, leadership, multiplication, and mobilization. I mean, don't you love to see that? He loves to take cowards like Peter and turn them into courageous spokesmen for the gospel. Same guy that denied Jesus, confessed him. He takes a religious terrorist and he turns him into a preacher of the gospel. Look at leaders multiplied and mobilized in the book of Acts. Well, we're still doing that today with the Honduras Bible Institute. And as it's going to places. This last year, again, because of your prayer commitment and financial and the leaders who led us, we were able to put this subcommittee on the persecuted church that we're engaged in. Do you realize twice as many people lost, documented, over twice as many people lost their life for Jesus Christ this in 2015 that lost their life in 2014 for Jesus? It doubled. Do you realize there are 51 countries with state-approved persecution of the Christian church? There are over 1 million of your brothers and sisters who have no place to live now because of that persecution. We call them refugees. But we were able to start that ministry to the persecuted church. And you know another thing we were able to do? 35 of those 51 countries are embracing Islamic jihadism. And we actually have an evangelistic training program for those who were converted that came to Christ on how to share the gospel with other Muslims. And in one area, they are averaging starting 15 Bible studies a week. We were able to put the training in place for those missionaries because of this time last year. And what God did supernaturally through his people in prayer and in giving. As the Father sent me, so send I you. When I was in Uganda, I'll tell you the day that I knew I was going to be committed to world missions for the rest of my life. I was already convicted of it theologically, but I went to Uganda. I've been 8 times to Uganda. I stood in the killing fields. I was there where there was a road where 500 skeletons of your brothers and sisters had been buried as road filler in Luero, in the killing fields of Uganda. But Abodi was now gone. Amin was now gone. And now the Church of Jesus Christ was moving. And there I was in the rural area with 250-something pastors walking out of the bush every day for 5 days to be trained in terms of pastoral ministry and preaching and teaching and leadership. And this one guy that was a deacon in the church, he could not have been more than 5'3". And every day he would walk 3 miles to get me to something they called Diet Coke. Because he knew this poor Muzunga was not going to make it. I've got to get him something to drink. And if he drinks the water, we won't get anything taught next week. And so he was so gracious to do that. And I was so, now I remember him saying to me, I said, you don't need to do that. And he said, no, your people sent you here. And we are so grateful. Well, before I left, I took my suitcase. I gave it to him. I'd given everything away. And I finally found the smallest shirt I had. And I saved that for him with a tie and socks. And I can't wait to see if he was able to get my underwear on or not. But I gave it to him. And he said, oh, thank you. I am a deacon. I will make sure that people who need this get it. He had wore the same thing every day for 5 days. And he washed it at night. I said, no, no, that's yours. That's yours. The other stuff you can give away, but that's yours. As I turned to leave, I saw him walk up to the communion table. He didn't know I saw him. He went to the communion table and he knelt. And he placed those little things I gave him right down the communion table. And he raised his hands and said, Jesus, thank you for sending Pastor Reeder. Thank you for sending this to me. I give myself to you. I love world evangelism. I love to pray for it. Sending, I love to give to it. And I love to see what the Lord does. And I'm grateful to love the Lord with you. And your love for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we could be together in your word. Thank you for the privilege to serve you and follow you, know you and love you. And we commit these moments. Let's just take a few moments. I know all of you have already received cards and some of you perhaps are needing to maybe forgot it and you're going to fill it out. How are you going to pray? Would you consider the Lord leading you to discover whether cross-cultural missions or not? What about your faith promise? Let's take just a moment and let the Holy Spirit empower you that you can express it. What I'm going to ask you to do is to bring it forward, to place it at the feet of the missionary. So while you're praying and consecrating yourself, I'm going to ask the missionaries to come and stand up here. They'll make their way. And while you're doing this, this is simply a statement. Lord, we give ourselves to you because you gave yourself for us. We surrender all.
You have been listening to a message by Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information on the resources available through Briarwood Presbyterian Church, or for more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Reeder, visit us at briarwood.org or call 205-776-5200.